Hello and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is podcast episode number 120. And I'm your host, Dr. Vankman, and we are going to get right down into talking about movies and geek news and all sorts of awesomeness that is happening in the entertainment world of death. Joining us today, we have Mazer. Hello, Mazer.
Hey, guys. I'm trying to find a new hobby.
A new one?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I used to watch movies and play video games as something I did on the side, but now it's kind of work. Do you guys feel the same way? So I need something that is not those things. Right?
Reading?
So, I don't know. I kind of do that a lot.
Not really a hobby.
Maybe archery?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's yo-yos? Interesting.
Baking?
I don't know.
You're a baker?
Baking. I'm baking. I like eating baked food. So
That's my point. See, if you like eating baked food as much as I do, I mean, at least why not make some baked goods? I don't know.
Yeah, have your hobby actually be a benefit to you.
that's what I'm getting at. Unless you're planning on killing squirrels and an archer. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean...
Interesting. A new hobby. Man, that's a good one. I don't know. All my hobbies consist of work. It's not that it's a bad thing. I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
I guess I can't really call it a hobby anymore.
Nope.
Interesting. You've just opened my eyes to a whole new world of what's my new hobby?
He can show you that world, shining, shimmering, splendid.
Wow.
What? Wow.
He just pulled out Aladdin.
Yeah, sorry.
At every episode, you need a Disney reference, right?
Does keeping your house clean and washing your car and doing laundry count as hobbies?
No.
No.
Yeah, because that's what I do in my spare time. Very little spare time that I have. Huh. All right. We'll get back to that. Ben P is also joining us. Hello, Ben.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Excellent. Yeah, I don't have any kind of snappy one-liner like Mazer did. I don't have anything ready to discuss, really. My hobbies are still kind of movie-related, I feel like, because I haven't quite lost that charm of it like you guys seem to. I don't know.
I haven't lost the charm either.
Yeah, I don't think it's lost the charm.
Really,
yeah.
Enjoy doing it.
I just can't call it a hobby anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. I guess because it's not my primary job. I still don't really consider it that much of a separation, maybe. I don't know.
All right. Tiberius, hello, sir.
Yes. Hello. I have no hobbies whatsoever either. So, I've never thought about this. I think I also need a hobby. But the likelihood of me finding one is slim to none. So,
you know what?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to pick up learning new languages.
That's expensive, man. Rosetta Stone is not cheap.
There's ways to get it.
Who was talking about doing Rosetta Stone?
Klingon.
I'm talking Ooh. About like going to these countries and living amongst the people and learning through experience.
You're insane.
Really?
Man, Rosetta Stone, that doesn't sound fun at all.
I will say at one point I really wanted to get into making ships and bottles. I thought that was kind of cool. But that never happened, so.
Listen, I'll tell you right now, Ben, I'm gonna we'll just put this one to rest. Don't start it, okay? Not that I've done it, but let's just put it to rest right now. Think about it for 1 second. Have you ever done any tedious model making?
No, that's actually why I never got around to doing it.
I used to be one of those kids that would buy these like model kits of awesome World War II airplanes and tanks and jeeps and stuff. And that is just ridiculous. Honestly, I bought them all the time. I tried to put them together. they always look like crap, so I stopped.
They never would come out the way they looked on the box. I had the box there over to the left, you know, and I was working on it here, you know, right in front of me, trying to make it look exactly like the front of the box.
And it never paint everywhere. does not look like the picture.
No.
I actually was really good at them. But the problem with them is when you're done, you're like, what do I do with this now?
Yeah, so, you set it on the shelf.
Yeah, so it's like if you got a ship in a bottle, you're like, okay, now I have a ship in a bottle. What do I do with that?
The best one, the most proud, the best one I did, the one I'm most proud of was the stealth fighter jet.
Mm.
When they first released that, I went out and bought the model kit for it. That one turned out the best.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. What a waste of time. Anyway.
Speaking of wastes of time.
Yeah, let's get into box office numbers real quick. No surprise, Planet Rise of the Planet of the Apes came in at number one at $54 million. The Smurfs came in at number two at $21 million. Cowboys and Aliens dropped down to number three at $15.7 million. Number four, The Changeup, $13.5 million. And running at the top five this last weekend was Captain America, the First Avenger, bringing in $13 million. So even though Cowboys and Aliens was number one last week and it beat out the Smurfs, in the end, the Smurfs beat out Cowboys and Aliens. Total for the Smurfs is $76.2 million so far, and Cowboys and Aliens is $67.3 million. So we'll see a sequel to the Smurfs. We won't see a sequel to Cowboys and Aliens.
Well, I mean, after seeing Cowboys and Aliens, I really don't know if it was a sequel where I don't know. I don't think that's much of a loss. I hate to say it. I love Jon Favreau, and I enjoyed the movie, but I don't know.
I'm right there with you, Tiberius.
All right. There you go.
But then again, please. Oh, sorry, please. Let me just say this. No, I don't want to see one of the Smurfs either, though. So there we go.
You guys love the Smurfs. I knew that's what you were getting at.
No.
All right, so let's talk about one of the big movies. Well, the big movie of the weekend, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Why don't we begin?
Meet Chimp 9. We gave him a gene therapy that allows the brain to create its own cells in order to repair itself. We call it the cure to Alzheimer's.
Oh, he's a smart one, isn't he?
Home. Home.
You told him to sign?
Just a handful of things.
Caesar continues to show cognitive skills that far exceed that of a human counterpart. The drug in his system has radically boosted healthy brain functioning.
The drug works.
These tests need to be contained.
Is that a chimpanzee?
You okay, pal? No, you're not a pet.
Stay right there.
Daddy.
He hasn't spent any time with other chimps.
You're gonna stay here now. We're not going home right now.
Stupid monkey. He'll learn who's boss soon enough.
Not only was it the movie of the weekend, in my eyes and in my opinion, I'm thinking this is like is the movie of the summer, and definitely one of the best movies of the year. It's just that's how I saw it. Who saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes? Just me?
I saw it.
I did. I saw it as well.
Okay.
I didn't. I'm the only one.
Oh, man.
Man, whoa.
You're You're missing out, buddy.
I've got a lot of movies I haven't seen.
Well, if there's one movie you need to see,
yeah,
I'd say
this should be up at the top of your list.
I'd say Attack the Block, and then Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed this movie. The whole time I was kind of bashing. I never really got into the mindset of wanting to see this movie. I didn't, when it was first announced, I was like, oh man, here we go again. Hollywood trying to make it reboot another crappy film, you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of kept that attitude through. The more I saw, the more that Barry broke down. The more I started to see for the movie, the more images that were released, the footage of the apes and stuff, it looked good. And I knew it was going to look good. I mean, Weta is involved with it. And I knew that the apes and the acting and everything was going to be pretty solid, but I still was kind of apprehensive. I'm like, okay, yeah, it looks good. I like the trailers. But I think that, you know, it was like at that time, I'm like, they showed way too much in the trailer. You know, I just kind of, who knows what this story is going to end up being? Who knows if the story is going to be any good? But in the end, when I went and saw this movie, I walked out of it and I was shocked by how much I loved this movie. It was amazing. The apes in it, Caesar, the main character, wow. I mean, it was – it's a CGI motion capture ape, but it's one of the best performances I've seen this year in a movie.
Yep.
Which is
– I agree.
Which is weird. Like, I never thought I would be saying that about a CGI – a realistic CGI animated – character.
And not only that, but a character in this particular movie, you know, like you
yeah.
could see maybe something like Lord of the Rings, obviously with Gollum and stuff, where it's like it's a movie that kind of warrants that kind of attention and stuff. But like you were saying, same thing for me, like the way that you go, the way that you went into this movie where you're just kind of like, eh, I don't really know about this. That's kind of the same way I approached it too. And I almost didn't even want to see it. I wasn't planning on watching it at all. And then I started hearing this amazing buzz about it online. Like Twitter blew up as soon as the press screenings got out and everybody's like, seriously, guys, this movie is awesome. And I'm like, what? Are you serious?
That's what I was saying. I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, all these people must be high on something.
Yeah. And
doesn't
I was
make
like,
sense.
I was like, all right, well, they've talked me into seeing it. And I kind of wanted to not like it, honestly, because it's like a Fox tentpole, which, you know, 20th Century Fox has not been, it doesn't have the best track record for big, you know, summer releases over the past, we'll call it 10 years or something. And, you know, Rupert Wyatt, not that well known of a director. You've got a seemingly unnecessary like prequel to a movie franchise that started in the 1960s. Like a lot of this stuff just seems like kind of cynical Hollywood stuff, like you were saying, Bankman. And then when you walk out of it, you're like, holy crap, that was actually really good. Tiberius, what did you think about it?
Well, see, I couldn't be even farther from what your opinion on it to an extent is, Ben. Let me say this. The minute I saw the Weta and Andy Serkis live, I guess it was a video. What was that? What would that be called?
I can't remember.
It was like a live commentary.
Yeah, it was a live webcast.
Webcast.
Thank you. I had a brain fart there. Pardon me. Live webcast. I saw that. I was really blown away by the amount of dedication that, first of all, Andy Serkis had into portraying the apes. And he really puts a lot into his performance. And the way he talked about that, to me, I started saying, okay, this is a movie that's going to be pretty cool. You know? And then it delivered when I saw it on the screen. It is truly, I second you what you said, Vankman. It is the best movie I've seen this year. I wouldn't just say this summer. I mean, Super 8 and this are actually my top films of the year thus far. So I definitely think that the performance is so special. And I'll tell you what I mean by Ben is that I disagree with you. Yes, Lord of the Rings his performance in that motion capture aspect was good, was great, in fact, but it was overshadowed by all the rest of the awesomeness.
Sure.
In this film, there is a lot of great stuff. It has a script and a story that backs up the performances, but at the same time, you know, man, I mean, that performance is so titular. I don't know. It's right there in your face that you can't help but be kind of won over by it, in my opinion.
No, I'm totally right there with you. Just to clarify, I was talking about I didn't think that such a great performance would be in a movie like this before I saw it. So once I got into it, I was like, oh man, this is actually really amazing. Like, just the story of this movie plays out in such a cool way. The human characters really are, they really do kind of take a backseat to the story of Caesar, and they do a great job of not only making this character like kind of sympathetic, but also not like actively not villainizing him, because you really feel that he's justified, that the ape is justified in every decision that he makes. And it's like, it's kind of heartbreaking to watch him go the way he does, because to some degree, I don't know if I can speak for you guys on this, I kind of put myself in that situation. I was like, well, I guess that's reasonable. You know, I can kind of see why you would do that, why this ape would behave this way, because of the things that happened to him. And it's all, you know, this kind of blending of circumstance and a little bit of abuse and loneliness, I guess, to some degree, and this kind of rise for power and things of that sort. But it all just kind of blends together to be this really, like, really justifiable prequel to a movie set in the 60s. You know, you can't really say that about a lot of these summer blockbusters. You can't really sit back and be like, okay, I can say that this is justified, that we spent this much money on it and all that kind of stuff with the final product that you get. But with this one, I feel like you really can.
Yeah, it was – I mean, there were scenes in this movie where I got goosebumps. Like, I'm sure you know it. There's one scene in particular. I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but there's one scene in particular where – you know, they're in the cage and everything, and there's this craziness going on, and Caesar does something for the first time. I was just kind of like,
yeah,
whoa.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, that was powerful, you know? It's like, damn, that was done so well.
Yeah. You know,
the way it was. Yeah, they really did a fantastic job on this film, Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say the story is also phenomenal. What do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I mean, the story was great. I had no problems whatsoever with the story. Everything about this film was solid. There was I don't think there was anything really weak in it.
Yeah. Normally, as you guys well know, I'm the guy who likes to like nitpick things and be like, "Eh, I don't really think this was as great as you guys do, blah blah blah." that's my role in this group, apparently. Venkman, I'm the same way. You know, I walked out of this movie and I was like, I don't know if there's a single aspect of this that I did not like. From the performances, you know, the acting was really great. The story was well developed and actually makes sense. The way it was shot, like Rupert Wyatt, you know, for a guy who I've never really heard of before, did a great job of putting this thing through. The pacing is fantastic through this.
Yeah, it really was. I was going to say, amazing.
Yeah. I will say that the Tiberius, you asked about the story. The one thing that kind of I noticed were some similarities to the movie Deep Blue Sea. You guys remember this film?
With
LL Cool J and Samuel L. Jackson and stuff. The whole genetically engineering kind of cure for Alzheimer's thing is the same like plot device used in Deep Blue Sea. But aside from that, those are like pretty much the only comparisons. I just thought that was kind of a funny little notable comment, I guess. But I'm right there with you, Tiberius. I really enjoyed the story too.
I mean, my wife was sitting beside me at times too, crying. You know, I mean, there were some moments that were really touching.
No, there were. It was sad. It was sad to see what he went through, the choices that he had to make to, you know, to do what he had to do. And it was awesome to see, because, you know, before the end of the movie, before you find out what's kind of really going on, and you've seen the, because there's a human side to Caesar, and
yeah.
he's
so.
When you know he knows that, and you know, when you see Caesar sparing people, he's not out to kill anybody, you know.
Yeah,
it's not like he's leading these apes to go on a rampage and kill. So it's like, okay, so
he's just
how
not
does this
being,
how
but...
does this all work out? And the way this movie explains it, and the whole twist and everything on how they leveled the playing field between apes and humans was pretty freaking smart.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I mean, as soon as I walked out of that movie, I was just like, I want the sequel. Show me what happens.
Well, that's the thing. Tiberius, what did you think about a possibility for a sequel for this?
There already will be a sequel. I'm pretty much going to lay the cards down. Nothing's been announced, I know, but think about it. The box office is where it stands already. I personally think it's still going to be number one at the box office this next weekend. Secondly,
it's going to continue to grow. Yeah, it should get some good word of mouth, I think.
So with that, let alone the fact that, you know, and so it's I think the money's behind it. I mean, I hate to say that that's the only reason the sequel gets made, but a lot of times in Hollywood, you know, we know how it is.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, but yeah, I think the sequel's good. We just posted something on the site, which we can get into a little bit quickly, but just, you know, that thing about Rupert Wyatt talked a little bit about, you know, what some of the ideas that he has for the next one. And it talked about, mentioned something about how it was, they wanted to go underground potentially with the story in some capacity. And if you actually know, the second film of the original films was beneath the Planet of the Apes. So it might be, I mean, not to say that they're tying anything in there with it exactly, but you can see the similarities there. But at the same time, we know from this one, it's going to be a unique experience, yeah. I think.
They can open a sequel up and do so many different things with it. Within it's just this new reboot that they've created, and
I think the reason that I'm surprised, and I'm not that surprised, because it is at the end of the day a business, and of course you want to make money and stuff. I think the way that this movie wraps up is a perfect lead in to the original, though. Where it kind of that post credits sequence, you know, like it kind of explains how things are in the beginning of the original Planet of the Apes. And I don't want to give too much away because I know Mazur hasn't seen it, and maybe some of our listeners haven't quite either. But I think I was really surprised with the way that I thought the movie was going to end. And then it comes up, you know, directed by Rupert Wyatt, whatever. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay, maybe they're leaving this open for a sequel. And then this little post-credits thing comes up. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's a good way to kind of close off the story, and then have it just kind of lead nicely back into the original. But I see what you guys are saying, especially with, you know, how well it's doing and presumably will continue to do. Maybe they could do something like what Abrams is doing with Star Trek or something, and just make kind of a remake now of the original Planet of the Apes and not have to worry about it being in one particular you know, timeline, if you will.
I know they're not really doing – I know that they still want to continue the story of the apes, but without that element of the original, you know, the whole space thing.
Right.
So it may just be
Will be kind of like a middle ground, like a
not
quite the Planet of the Apes type of thing.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, you have the Rise of the Planet of the Apes. This would be like the population of the Planet of the Apes
before the Planet of the Apes.
Well, when you think about it, guy, I mean, without giving anything away anybody here, but you know, just think about it for a second. What they talked a little bit about in the film, that apes have a higher immune system than humans. So I thought that was kind of interesting, and I thought that really, if you think about that aspect of the film, and you know what's going on from that post-credit scene or whatnot, you might think that gives you a lot. I left the theater not only wanting more, but thinking of what could happen, you know, and just trying to play things. That's probably not a good idea for me, but I was playing things out in my head about, okay. Ooh, this would be cool, man. You know, and then.
I really want to say something. Mazer, could you close your ears for like 1 minute?
Sure.
Exactly.
Just message me when I can come back in.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I hate to do this. And for people who haven't seen the movie, I guess just kind of just close off just for 1 minute because I really want to say something here. And that is, Tiberius, you're talking about obviously at the end of the movie with the post-credit sequence where it kind of implies that mankind gets wiped out, right, by the virus. Yes, that's what we're talking about. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well,
go
I was ahead. Just going to say if what you're saying is becomes true, then the whole next movie, the sequel, could be a movie just about the apes then with no humans at all. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, think about it this way. Going underground, the survivors that there are very few.
Oh, okay.
They're underground.
Okay.
They're underground surviving.
Yeah.
The apes are able to roam free.
Gotcha. Okay. I didn't even think about survivors going underground. I just kind of assumed that entire humanity was wiped out with that. But yeah, there very well could be.
Okay.
Well, I'm imagining a situation like the president who, you know, this sounds bad that I know this, but like say an emergency situation like this were to happen, they have underground bunkers for the president.
Right.
And he would be transported to in a cave, basically. Like we saw in War Games, like that type of facility.
Sure,
that's structured, you know, set up for him and his safety with all the food that they need to whatever.
Yeah.
And then a rebuilding of the country would begin, or the world would begin.
Sure.
So,
okay, I don't know if either one of you have seen this previous interview with the director. It's a different one from what you posted,
okay,
Tiberius, but he goes on. It actually kind of goes into a little bit more detail about what he's thinking about the sequel. All right, so real quick, I'll just kind of go into this. So he goes in to say you can have a new generation evolve who have inherited the genes, and they are the ones that are going into battle. They are the ones displaying real fear as young soldiers when they go into battle. Think Full Metal Jacket, that kind of urban environment not dissimilar to Western forces going into Baghdad. Remember when the soldiers were finding gold telephones in Hussein's home, it would be the same way that the apes would understand our species through what we've created, whether it be TV or cooking, that kind of thing.
Huh.
He goes on to say, he goes, whereas the story of the first film plays out as a fairy tale, the next film will play out as a Shakespearean sci-fi drama where you'll have Caesar as the leader of this revolution. Yep. But Koba, the mean-ass looking ape, would be the one leading his own troops, wanting to wipe out humans and genocide. But Caesar is more conflicted, and maybe Caesar needs Koba's assistance in terms of the conflict.
Okay.
And then there's Maurice. He goes on to talk about Maurice, his advisor, telling him to combine forces, and Caesar goes on. They talks about Caesar needing the allegiance of the two, and you know, but he doesn't believe in what Koba believes in, which is complete genocide. So there could just be this whole thing where you're gonna have two separate groups of apes veering off in the different directions. And
I can still see humans playing a role in that too, though.
He
survivors.
Goes, he says. He goes. You could. He goes on to say, you could also always portray the human face through that of a resistance leader or a guy who is trying to find a cure for the virus that's killing humans.
Yeah.
Compares it to 12 monkeys, where every human has gone underground to avoid the virus, and when they come up to the surface, they're wearing gas masks. And that way, they would dehumanize them and would make us really follow the apes and what the apes are doing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, man, it sounds like
that great really, ideas there.
Yeah, really well thought out. So
yeah,
cool.
And which is good, which means that the story will be amazing again if and when that sequel does happen.
Yeah.
So
true.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's get Maisie back in here.
Sounds good. Done with spoilers. Finished.
All right. How do we?
Okay, you're good. Okay, good. All right.
Thank you, Mazer.
Yeah, sorry about that. Couldn't resist.
We got in a very spoiler tangent.
So wait, they don't take over. Is that what that means?
It's just a nice little coming of ape story.
Oh, oh God. Oh, God.
All right, so let's go and talk about some geek news. Obviously, we highly recommend that film to everyone who hasn't seen it yet. So go see it.
Yep.
I'm going to see it again. I'm already excited to see it a second time after we've just got finished talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Especially since I didn't stay for the post-credit scene.
Well,
anyway,
it's not post-credits. It's just like right after the first like two credits pop up. It's not like all the way at the end, like a Captain America or something like that.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. So let's talk about Superman's new suit, guys. What's up? You guys like it? Hate it? Are you digging on it?
I love it.
Who said love it? Okay, that was Tiberius?
Yeah. I did. Yeah, it was me in a high-pitched voice.
I definitely wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I didn't. And it didn't. When I first saw it, I was just kind of like, what? that was literally my reaction. I'm like, what is this? They're going with funky, you know, they got this weird material. I like that the S is big, but it's like bulgy. I don't know.
I like the large S too. And Mazer, I'm interested to hear from you on this one because
you are the big Superman fan.
Well, the Superman
you
fan.
Are Superman.
And also you've always been more kind of design oriented with all this stuff. So what's your take on it?
I think I echo what a lot of people are saying, that like it looks like the evil Superman out of Superman 3, where it's like got that like darker tones.
Yeah,
I can see where they're going with kind of the textures and stuff like that, which would be interesting. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel like Superman. It feels like, you know, like if that's what he's wearing, what's Zod wearing?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel it's interesting because, you know, they went with the name Man of Steel. And I think that's why, you know, the suit looks like it's made of metal.
Mm-hmm.
So it explains why it's not just, it's probably indestructible.
Well, like, it's kind of similar to Thor's suit a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. It has that same kind of, futuristic chainmail kind of feel.
Yeah, that bubbly type of thing. I mean, and it shares a little bit with the Amazing Spider-Man too, a bit. You know,
that's what I was gonna say.
I don't know.
Texture of it.
The texture of Amazing Spider-Man is like two different layers. It's like a silk screen layer that actually tries to add shadow dimension into it, even though it's flat. And then there's another layer on top of it that is actually very glossy. So what it does is actually, even though it's completely flat and smooth. Because of those two, the fake silkscreen shadows plus the ultra glossy highlight area, it looks like it's actually three-dimensional when it's actually flat.
Mm.
But it's interesting looking at the cuffs. It's like these sculpted arm wrist things.
Mm-hmm.
The underwear's gone. The boots are sculpted. And then I like the size of the S, but it's not, I feel like, the classic Superman S.
Yeah.
It just feels like funky. It feels like they picked this, like, who picked that type font kind of thing?
I think that's kind of like the original cartoon, like the Fleischer Brothers cartoon S, you know, from like way back in the day.
Yeah. And I feel like if they're going with alien suit, go with alien S, where it's not really an S, but it kind of looks like an S.
Yeah.
Alex Ross's kind of work.
Okay. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I was hoping they'd actually kind of go more towards that Alex Ross look for this one, and I'm surprised they went in this direction. I don't know. I keep saying, okay, well, maybe it'll grow on me. Maybe after I see the suit in action. Maybe it made it easier to do the character. Maybe that suit design made it easier for them to CGI the character, you know?
There's nothing I don't think anyone is ever saying let's make this easier for the CGI.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I looked at it and it looked like, I mean, when I looked at it and saw the texture and everything, for some reason I'm thinking it just reminded me of like someone sculpted that with clay. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Well, I mean, for a suit to look alien and not realistic, I think Green Lantern is a great example of something that really failed in that aspect. But I don't know. For me, it doesn't feel like Superman. He's lost the curl. Like, he's got like this, you know, he looks like he's got Charlie Sheen's hair from like Wall Street, you know?
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like Superman. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised, and I don't know, maybe they've done this with other movies recently, but I'm just surprised that they're showing us anything from it this early out, because this movie just got delayed to summer of 2013, so that's 2 years from now before we're actually going to see the movie. So it seems
I know, we probably won't even see a trailer for another year.
I know, yeah. I mean, a year at best, maybe even like a year and a half or a year some change or something. It just seems like really, really early for images like that to get out, because, I mean, you guys know, obviously, and we'll talk about it in a second, the Dark Knight Rises stuff, like, we haven't even really started to get that kind of, like, floodgate of images and videos and things until that movie really started shooting, which is like now-ish, you know, like pretty recently. And this movie, I guess it's just getting started or will be getting started, but it seems like it's going to have a long post-production period or a really long shoot, one of the two. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think probably long post. But I think the reason they're doing it is they're trying to get that image out there before someone tries to leak it, and they have no control over it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
In the same way, you know, I think people talk, like, you know, we've seen Bane top to bottom. We've seen, so it seems like they, you know, when it came to Catwoman, they wanted to kind of control that release.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you don't, you know, release it, someone else is, and you're not going to have control over what that image looks like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, while we're on that, why don't we move into the Catwoman outfit? What do you guys think of that? I mean, it kind of goes along with the description that was previously released.
Yeah. But, I feel like Black Widow looks more like Catwoman.
I really didn't. I saw like a little icon of it, you know, just kind of like a really tiny picture. I didn't click it. I didn't even want to see it, honestly, because this is one of those movies I'm trying to go dark on, you know? Like, I saw the first teaser, and that's it. That's all I want to know. And I saw in, like, my Facebook feed or something, somebody, like, Hollywood Reporter or somebody had posted the picture, and it was, like, right there in the middle of the thing, like, with no option not to see it. And I was like, F you guys, man. I didn't want to see that. Like, and I still didn't really get a good look at it, but it's kind of like, I don't know, when you I'm trying to think of a good analogy here, and I can't come up with anything. But when you like walk in and you kind of see something, and you're like, but I didn't really see that. I don't know. I'm blanking.
I can think of an example, but it's not appropriate to say.
So. Honestly, Tiberius, I'm glad you said that, because that's kind of where I was, and I was trying to find an appropriate response and couldn't come up with anything. So. Yeah, I don't know. I can't really talk about the details of it, because I honestly just saw it in like dimensions that was probably like an inch by an inch or something like that. So what did you guys think about it? Did you like it or no? Just like broad
strokes. It definitely doesn't feel like the Catwoman we all kind of grew up with. There's, you know, it doesn't have the cowl. It does, you know, doesn't have that Catwoman, you know, it's definitely a different take on Catwoman. It's more of she's, you know, like she's going out to pull a heist or something. She's a high tech person.
I feel like it's got all the gear for a heist type thing. I feel like the approach of making this realistic is like, okay, we have this high tech goggle thing, but it's like you've like kind of missed not covering most of her face. Now, and her suit does not look functional.
Now, here's a couple things that first of all, there's a rumor that near the end she will get the cowl. We'll see. I don't know. Yeah.
The cowl?
Well, that's what I've heard.
The mask, the cat woman mask.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
She recently gave an interview and talked. She talked about the reaction of the suit. She didn't. She said she went and looked at some of the reactions and stuff and saw that it was a lot of meh type reaction, which is what we're kind of getting in the comment section on the site. A lot of people not really on board with it. A lot of optimistic people are saying it's underwhelming, unflattering, stuff like that. Now, from what Hathaway says, she goes, she said this in an interview, this was just, seriously, this just popped up about 5 minutes ago. So she said, what I'm happy to say is if you don't like the photo, you only see about a tenth of what that suit can do. And she went on to say, and if you did like the photo, you have excellent taste. So there's a lot more going on to this suit than meets the eye. Make me wonder if she can cloak herself, go like invisible, stealth mode, or that there's rockets built into the sleeves.
It really could be anything.
It could be anything. She's just saying from this picture that was released, that's only a tenth of what that functionality or what that suit is capable of.
And so, I think that speaks to Mazur's point earlier about the studio just releasing it because they wanted to control the image. They could have showed us a different version of it, and maybe they will a little bit later on. I'm sure they will, actually. An alternate take or something like that.
You know what? Just because it's the first official image doesn't mean that that's how it's actually going to look on screen.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's usually how Nolan does his...
Really?
Do you remember the first image they released from The Dark Knight with the new suit? That new suit looked pretty much exactly the same through the film.
With him, standing on the rubble?
I'm just saying.
With him standing on the police car.
Oh, yeah.
Where you could actually see the panels cut in.
Right.
And you're
right.
That looks weird, but then you got used to it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of first look stuff tends to kind of rile people up online. But if you just kind of chill out for the most part and watch it in action in the movie, it generally tends to work with the tone and stuff like that. I mean, unless you're talking about something really awful like Elektra or something. But for the most part, kind of in Nolan we trust, as the saying goes.
And that's what I'm saying. A lot of people are kind of bagging on Bane's outfit and all that stuff as well, saying, that doesn't look, he doesn't look big like Bane.
He doesn't look big like Bane, being shot from a telephoto lens.
These guys gotta understand that there's a lot of stuff that goes into making movies, and like I said in my last post, people are complaining. We'll get into this in a sec, but people are complaining about the voice of Bane and the way it is. And I just want to be like, guys, has Nolan let us down yet on a Batman film?
Yeah.
No, he hasn't. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he wants, and he's going to get it.
Yeah.
So just, wait. When the movie comes out, he'll be like, oh, man, I was so stupid for thinking that Nolan couldn't pull this off. At least that's what I hope.
Heath Ledger, anybody? I mean,
a lot of people complained when Heath Ledger was cast as the Joker. Oh, man, he can't be the Joker. Come on. Guy won an Academy Award for it.
Yep.
Respect.
Yeah, very much so.
So, I don't know. I'm really interested to see. I like what I've seen so far. I don't have any problems with the suit, Catwoman's suit. I don't have any problems with what images have been going on with Bane. I don't have a problem with Bane's voice. It's unique. I like it. It gives his character this certain touch that we really weren't expecting. And even if it is put in post and they change some things around, I think that the way that this is happening is going to be fine. I don't know. I think it's just all going to turn out the way it's supposed to turn out.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I've not heard the voice yet. I don't really care to, but... you know, talking about before we were recording, it was funny because Venkman was really disappointed that we had kind of taken away his opportunity to mimic the Tom Hardy Bane voice. So maybe you can do a separate podcast that's just you doing that for 30 seconds, and then that's the episode.
Yes.
But yeah. No, I kind of mirror everything you guys are saying. I think Nolan knows what he's doing. For the love of God, just leave the guy alone and then watch his movie when it comes out. Then if it sucks in the movie, then we'll have something to complain about. I don't think anybody really has any right to complain about anything before the movie except for maybe like a trailer or something. Images and stuff, that's all like it all can be taken out of context, you know? You really don't know until you see things in motion, in action, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I don't have a problem with anything that's been put out officially or anything that's been leaked. I think everything, there's a purpose, and that purpose is a puzzle that will all come together in the end that will give us what we all want. So, that being said, stop complaining about the leaked stuff because it's leaked. It's not complete. Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah.
Be cool. Respect.
Be cool, people.
Anyway, what movies do we got coming out this week? We got 30 minutes or less. Very excited about this one, guys.
Are you really?
I don't know about the rest of you. I am.
Hell yes.
So excited.
What are you not, Ben?
This movie looks hilarious.
Okay.
I can't wait to see it.
All right, I'm kind of cautious about it. I don't really know what to make of it. I like all the people involved. I just the trailers and stuff. I haven't seen any of the Red Band or anything, so maybe that's where a lot of the humor is coming from. But I just like the TV spots in particular. I'm just kind of like I don't quite know what to make of this movie. But
Ben, what's not to get, man? He's got a bomb strapped to him. I mean.
Yeah, but that's the story. But is it actually going to be a funny movie? You know, we've talked about this before.
It has Aziz Ansari, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
I like Aziz a lot. I just
Eisenberg's hilarious at times too, man. Yeah. He's good.
Eisenberg's hilarious at times.
I believe you. That's a true statement. I just I might sit this one out, let you guys see it, and then make sure that it's good. And then once you guys tell me it's good, then
I'll no way, you're going to a midnight show Thursday. Here we go. It's planned.
I could probably be talked into that too.
I'm sure you could. Seriously. All right. Let's see what else we got. We got Final Destination 5. Guys,
which really should have been called Five Null Destinations, right? Like it was originally intended. You guys remember that? When this movie was first announced, it was the letter F was a 5, and then the letter S in Destination was also a 5.
They should have called it
what? Really? Final,
they should have called it Final 5.
Yeah.
Like Fast 5 and right. Final 5 or Destination 5.
Destination
5. Fifth destination.
Destination.
Never final.
Destination colon final.
Yeah, I think I'm going to skip out on this one, guys.
I'm not watching it either.
The second one in 3D, though.
Ooh, yes.
Woohoo!
Shot in 3D. Whatever. The other film that came out is kind of a smaller film called The Help. Yes. This movie looks like a made-for-TV Lifetime channel movie. Now,
it's better than that.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm sure it is better than that. I'm just saying that's kind of the type of movie that it looks like.
So you're saying those types of movies only belong on TV?
No, I'm just saying that that's what it looked like to me from the trailer.
It's based on a best-selling novel, I was informed. So, I have a feeling that it's going to be a big contender at the box office.
Actually. I know people who have seen the movie and said they were completely blown away by how great of a film it was. I'm actually looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I've heard really good buzz about it too.
I've heard the performances and the story, everything is just incredible. So, and that's from everyone I know that has seen the movie. No one is saying that it's a bad film. So,
nice. All right.
So, yes, definitely looks like something worth checking out.
Cool.
My first impression was Lifetime Channel movie. Now that I've been hearing good things,
it's... I think if there was some sort of spousal abuse, maybe, but...
Yeah, with an appearance by Dean Cain.
Yeah.
A Hallmark Channel movie, then.
There you go.
Okay. Anyway, before we move on and just kind of close up, why don't we throw in some plugs here, guys, for your podcasts and such.
Tiberius, let's hear about the podcast, sir.
Ooh. Thank you so much. The Popcast appreciates it. Sorry. That was so bad. The Popcast, you can find us on Twitter at @the_Popcast or on iTunes at The Popcast. But better yet, why go to iTunes when you can go to geektyrant.com and listen to an episode of The Popcast? So there you go.
Indeed. Awesome. I've got the Not Just New Movies podcast, which you can also find at notjustnewmovies.com in iTunes, and the best place, geektyrant.com. Just go there and listen to it. And yeah, good stuff.
What was your last show?
We actually just recorded one immediately before this, in which we discussed Pitch Black.
Vin
Diesel movie from 2000. Yeah, yeah.
And you also recently did a podcast where you had Frankie Muniz on as a guest.
It was not the Frankie Muniz.
A different Frankie Muniz.
Was it?
Yeah.
What? Man, you had me all tricked there.
It was a friend of mine whose name, unfortunately, happens to share with the star Frankie Muniz. But that actually was a really good episode, so people should listen to that. We talked about Hot American Summer.
I literally, when I saw that, I was like, man, you guys got Frankie Muniz? I was like, did he take a break from race car driving or something? I mean, I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, I was like, in what, did like Ben meet him? And I know Ben's in Hollywood, so maybe there's something happened. But
yeah. It's funny, in the show notes I put, in this week's episode, Ben and Tyler are joined by Frankie Muniz, not that Frankie Muniz.
See, I didn't read the show notes. I was like, maybe Ben ran into him at Pinkberry or yeah. I don't know where Ben goes. I don't know.
One of those places.
Anyway, you can subscribe to our podcast, Geek Tyrant Weekly, on iTunes. You can like Geek Tyrant on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/geektyrant. Subscribe to our YouTube page, which is kind of in limbo right now, at youtube.com/geektyrant. Yeah.
Go to the store.
Yeah, go to the store.
Go to the store.
And then buy some shirts and some glasses and stuff so we can do something with our YouTube page.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we have two shows shot that are just like on my computer, just there.
Yeah.
Only for me to watch.
Only for me to watch. Mazer to watch.
Stop hoarding it, Mazer.
Yes.
I know you love it so much, but damn.
Share with the world.
Yeah, other than that, that's it, guys. That's the podcast. That's podcast episode 120.
That's how you do it right there.
We did it. We went through it, and that was pretty smooth.
That was. It was really smooth. It was a good one.
Very smooth.
Yeah.
So join us next week when we talk about hairless cats.